A little background context to our passage today. It's in the evening. Jesus has finished up a long day of teaching and ministering, as we have seen in the previous passages in Mark 4 as we've been going through the Gospel of Mark. And Jesus now desires to move on. He desires to move on. And in verse 35, he says, "Let us pass over to the other side." When he says to the other side, he's talking about the Sea of Galilee. And he wants to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee because he wants to begin to minister unto the Gadarenes. And when he says that he wants to go over there, we see the disciples send away the multitude. They get in the boat that Jesus was in. Remember, he is teaching and he is preaching from a boat in the Sea of Galilee to the multitudes that were on the shore. The disciples hop into the boat and they start across. What I find interesting about these first two verses is that it states that as they are going across, that others still follow them. This is how demanding the multitude can be. Is that even when they are dismissed, it says that people essentially went and got their own boats and followed Jesus and his disciples across the Sea of Galilee. And as we know, the story as it unfolds, this is a very familiar story within the Gospels. It's located on the other two synoptics of Matthew and Luke. We know that a great storm comes up, and we know that Jesus rescues the disciples in the midst of their fear and in the midst of their panic, and he calms the storm. He has one of those great Messiah moments where he stands up in the moment and he says, "Peace, be still." And I love this passage. This is a passage that is very near and dear to my heart. I remember growing up, my mom had a picture in her living room of Jesus standing on the boat, and you see his arms out, and it says, "Peace, be still." And you can see that the storm had started rolling away, the clouds had started opening up. It was just a surreal picture of how God can speak peace, not just into creation, but praise God, can speak peace into our lives. Amen. Can speak peace into our fears, can speak peace into our troubles and into our trials. He can speak peace into our doubts. He is the Messiah, he is the Creator, he is God Almighty. One of my very first sermons that I ever preached at Grace Church was of this passage. And it's interesting when you look back, especially with Jonathan preaching at another church this morning, and Jonathan being, you know, all of 21, almost, or he is 22 years of age now, and, you know, him preparing to speak to a group of people that are probably going to look at him this morning and be like, "I've got shoes in my closet that are older than you." How do I know they're going to say that? Because when I started as a young 26-year-old preacher, I heard it from a lot of people in this congregation. "Pastor, I've got shoes that are older than you. What can you tell me about life that I don't already know?" And you know what my response was? And I know that's what his response is going to be, as he encounters even some of the church people that will stand in your way and give you a hard time of ministry, is, "Yes, you may be older than me. Yes, you may be wiser than me, but praise God, I've got a source that is eternal in nature and never changes. And I'm giving you something from the Word of God, which is in authority over all of us, not just our ages." Amen. It is a timeless word. Amen, church? And so what we see here in this passage, and I'm just going to tell you, I'm not re-preaching that passage that I preached back in 2009. I looked at it and I'm like, "Good Lord, how'd they ever let me in a pulpit?" My goodness. It was very, very humbling to see something like that. But as I looked at this passage today, and over the last week in preparing, there was a couple of things that jumped out to me that hadn't jumped out to me before. But what you see in this passage is, in a lot of ways, a parallel of life. A parallel of life. Just by the simple fact that Jesus starts by saying, "Let's pass over to the other side." Listen to me. Each and every one of us are in this journey called life. And each and every one of us, through this life, are going to pass over to the other side. Some of us have a different destination than others. Amen. Amen. Some of us have Jesus in the boat and some of us don't. All of us started at birth, and all of us will pass over, and there are going to be trials, there's going to be storms, there's going to be all kinds of stuff that comes up in your life. How do you get through with safe passage to the other side? I believe this story tells us how to do it. Some things to note, some things to remember as we pass over to the other side. First thing I want you to see this morning is the storm. I want you to see the storm. Look with me at verse 37. It says, "And there arose a great storm of wind and waves beat into the ship so that it was now full." Now, to give you a little context, the Sea of Galilee sits about 700 feet below sea level. And the Sea of Galilee is surrounded by mountains and it's surrounded by highlands. And because of its geography and its placement, it is prone to some wind storms that come up, some violent storms that can just pop up out of nowhere and be very hectic. That's what's happening in this text. There is a crazy storm that just comes up. In fact, the King James tells you it is a windstorm. It comes up. And ladies and gentlemen, it comes up quick. I mean, think about who Jesus is with in the boat. These are, many of them, as the disciples, experienced fishermen. And they are surprised and caught off guard and in panic by what they are experiencing out in the Sea of Galilee, by what they are experiencing with the storm that they are in. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very important to remember that as we pass over to the other side, as we go through life, as we go through the sea of life, if you will, this morning, there will be storms in your life. There will be some storms that will come up and surprise you. There will be some troubles and trials that will catch you off guard. There will be some storms in your life, listen to me, that are self-inflicted. Amen. God is not mocked. You reap what you sow. Some of the storms and the troubles and the trials that you're going through in life is because you're not smart and you make bad choices. Come on, let's just be honest. And then we're, "Oh God, why are we going through this?" You did this to yourself. Right? But here's what I want you to note this morning. Because not all storms and trials and troubles that you will go through in this life, not all of them have necessarily a meaning. All right? Or is because of your choices. Check this out. Look, the disciples, I would tell you in the midst of this, are within the perfect will of God. They're in the center of the will of God. They're being faithful and they're being obedient. Jesus said, "Send the multitudes away." They sent the multitudes away. He said, "Let's go to the other side." They get in the boat and they start going in the direction that Jesus tells them. But even in the midst of their faithfulness and even in the midst of their disobedience, a storm comes up. Ladies and gentlemen, there are going to be times in your life where you are doing everything right. There's going to be times in your life where you are experiencing great intimacy and fellowship with God. There's going to be times in your life that you are obedient unto the Lord and faithful unto your service. And guess what? There's still going to be storms that come up in your life. Why? Because we live in a lost, broken, and fallen world. Some of these storms that come up just come up because guess what? They're storms. You know, I find it funny, you hear people that preach somewhat of a false gospel today and have really bad theology. I love when I hear people say, "Oh, well, this storm broke upon this particular part of the United States because it's God's judgment upon these people." Folks, we live in the New Testament age. That stuff don't happen anymore. All of God's wrath and all of God's judgment was poured out on Jesus Christ at the cross. Praise God! Come on now. And it was poured out for you and it was poured out for me. And in the church age, the age of grace in which we live in, you have the opportunity to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and his finished work that paid for all of that. Now, here's the thing. If you don't take advantage of that and the rapture happens and you're left behind, now, guess what? You got to go through and face God's judgment and God's wrath, which Jesus already paid for. But in the church age, that stuff doesn't happen. You know, I look back on, oh, Hurricane Katrina slammed New Orleans because they're such an ungodly. No! You want to know why Hurricane Katrina slammed New Orleans? Because there's hurricanes. Do we say that about every single hurricane that comes up every single year and every single season? My gosh, we had a horrible storm about a month or two ago. How many of you guys remember that? Right? Power out for days, right? Tornado that came through, right? Now, if we follow that theology, I want to know who the godless heathen is in Shrewsbury that brought this mess upon us. Do you see where you have to go with this? Nick, it wasn't you, was it? Oh, okay. Folks, sometimes stuff just happens. And it's because we live in a lost, broken, and dying world. But thank God, one day, the Redeemer will make all things new. All right? But here's the most important thing that you need to remember about some of this stuff. While you will still have trials, you will still have troubles, you will still have storms that come in your life, even though you are faithful and following unto the Lord, listen to me, the most important thing that you need to remember is the Savior, which is my second point. The Savior is in the boat with you. Amen, Pastor Jeff. Look with me at verse 38. It says, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? I'm sorry, let me put that in context with you. Master! How many guys like to be woken up that way? Master! Carest thou not that we perish? All right, that's the King James, right? Okay. Master! Yo, we're going to die out here. Do you care? You going to wake up? You going to do something about it? First thing I want you to notice about the Savior is, where was Jesus? While the storm was raging and the disciples were panicking and they were full of fear, where was Jesus? He's sleeping. And here's the best part. Listen to me. He didn't just nod off while they were on the boat. It's not like he was just sitting, you know, on the boat and this is just so relaxing. I'm so tired. It was planned for him to take a nap. Amen. You want to be more like Jesus? Take naps. Plan them out. How do I know it was planned? It says he was on a pillow. You don't grab a pillow if you're not planning on taking a nap. He planned it. So he goes and he's asleep on a pillow while this storm is going on. He's at peace. He's at rest. He's sleeping through the storm. The disciples weren't amused by this. Master, carest thou not that we perish? In other words, don't you care that we're going to die? What's wrong with you? Folks, we've all been where the disciples are. We look at a passage like this and we think, with our hindsight knowing the gospel message, how could they do this? We do it all the time. We got storms that come up in our life, and instead of thinking that we can, it's going to be okay, we freak out. I'm not freaking out. We freak out, right? And instead of accusing God of not caring, we say stuff like, God, why would you let this happen to me? Oh, woe is me. Constantly, at every single inconvenience. Let's be honest, some of them aren't even storms. They're inconveniences. Oh, woe is me. Listen to me this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Just because you have storms in your life doesn't mean God is not mindful of the storms in your life. I love how they say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Do you really think the man who is traveling with them, do you really think the Savior who has called them, do you really think the one who just taught about receiving the word, who has ministered to many, who has done miracles, who has taken care of them out to this point, would take them out into the middle of a sea and leave them to die? But let's be honest, that's kind of how we react sometimes. One little thing. Oh, such a heartache. Oh, such a burden. Some of us lose our faith. Some of us think we can't go to church anymore. Some of us have trouble singing praises unto God. Some of us have trouble reading our Bibles. Why? Because of storms that come up in your life. Listen to me. When storms and troubles and trials and heartaches come up in your life, I want you to remember a couple of things from this verse. Number one, I want you to remember who you're with. Where is Jesus? Did I yell at you too much this morning? Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Okay, still hearing. He's in the boat. He's in the boat. He's still there. You may think he's not mindful, but I can tell you the God and the creator of this universe, the one who will show later on that he controls the weather, that he controls the wind and the waves, I can tell you he's mindful of what you're going through, even if you have this idea that he's asleep in your life. Not only is he in the boat, where is he in the boat? The hinder part. What was in the hinder part? The controls. The part that steered the ship. The part that gave the direction. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you, you think that you can control your life? Jesus can control your life better when he's asleep at the wheel. Amen, Pastor Jeff. Amen, Pastor Jeff. When you're passing through to the other side, when you're going through this life, storms will arise, but remember that Jesus is still present, and praise God, he's still in control. It's all right, you can clap. I heard somebody wanted to, and then they were like, nah, that's okay. We see the storm. We see the Savior. Last thing I want you to see is the questions. The questions. It says, and he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. I want you to notice something this morning. It says that he rises. I imagine he's not very happy. We find that out later. How many guys like being woken up out of a sleep? How many guys like being woken up out of a sleep after you've worked all day? Right? Remember, we oftentimes think Jesus just fully 100% God, but Jesus was fully 100% man. All right? He was the God-man, right? 100% God, 100% man, right? Same way you don't like being woken up out of a deep sleep, he doesn't like being woken up out of a deep sleep. All right? Especially after working all day. Right? And here's what I want you to notice. He does not speak to the disciples when he gets up. At least he doesn't go to them first. But rather, he addresses their perceived problem. He addresses their perceived problem. He goes right out, and he goes out, and he rebukes the winds and the waves. He says, peace, and be still, and everything done. Can you imagine that? I mean, think about that for a second, right? You see storms come up, right? And it builds, and it builds, and it builds, and then you're in the storm, right? And then you see the storm, it's coming down crazy, and then it slowly starts and just slowly eventually moves on. Can you imagine being in the midst of a severe storm and then all of a sudden it just stops? That's my Savior right there. Listen to me, that's your God. That's your powerful, almighty creator. That the wind and the waves obey him. It just didn't take time to move out. He didn't say, hey, give it 5 minutes, it'll pass. He said, now, peace, be still, calm, boom, peace and calmness. He solved their issue right away. But here's the cool thing. While he addressed their perceived problem, he then turns around and addresses their real problem. Why so fearful? Two questions that have a lot of similarity. Why are you so fearful, essentially, and why do you still not have faith? Can I tell you, fear and faith work hand in hand. That's why he asked these questions. The more fear you have, the less faith you have. The more faith you have, the less fear of things in this world you have. What your job is to have this nice little balance of both fear and faith. And don't get one too far out of the other. All right, listen. Listen. He addresses their real problem. Where does this question stem from? What is the root of Jesus' question? Some would say it's because he was woken up out of his slumber. Some would say Jesus asks this because the disciples are freaking out. Can I tell you it goes back much farther than that as to why Jesus is asking them this question? Can I tell you it goes the whole entire way back to verse 35? Look with me at verse 35. Verse 35 says, "And he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side." Notice it doesn't say in the passage, let us go out to the Sea of Galilee and get capsized and all die. Let us go out to the Sea of Galilee and perish. What's it say? Let us pass over unto the other side. Why was Jesus upset with the disciples? He was upset with them because they were fearful. Can I tell you why he is upset? It's because they did not have faith and trust in his word. If Jesus said, let us pass to the other side, Jesus meant, hey, we're going to get to the other side. They didn't take him at his word. They did not trust him at his word. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. When you know God, you can trust God's word. Why do you think it is so important for you to be in this book? Why do you think it is so important for you to be in worship? Because the more you read his word, the more you worship, the more time you spend with him, the more you get to know him, and the more you know him, the more you know his character, and the more you can trust him at his word, that when he says something, you can believe it and have peace about it. When he says, hey, we're going to go to the other side, guess what? We're going to go to the other side. It doesn't matter if a storm comes up. It doesn't matter if there's fighting or bickering. It doesn't matter if people are going to follow us. It doesn't matter if it gets too dark. I said we're going to go to the other side, and guess what? We're going to go to the other side. When Jesus speaks something into your life, when he gives you a promise from his word, listen to me, you can take his word to the bank because his character is 100% pure and honest. There's an old saying in the church, Pastor Bradley used to old say, some of you have heard of it, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. He's upset because they didn't trust him. He's upset because they didn't follow his word. He's upset because they didn't have faith in his word. Why are you so fearful? If I give you a promise, you got nothing to fear. If I give you my word, you've got nothing to fear. I mean, think about it, Jesus. Or think about it, people. I'm talking. Why do you think Jesus was sleeping in the midst of the storm? Do you think the creator of all heaven and earth didn't know there was going to be a storm brewing and a storm coming, but yet Jesus went in the boat with a pillow and took a nap? Why was Jesus able to sleep in the midst of the storm? Because he trusted his Father was going to get him where he was supposed to go. Therefore, it did not matter what was raging on the outside. He trusted his Father was taking care of him to get him where he needed to go. He was at peace in the midst of it. He knew he was going to get there. How do I know this? Because Jesus knows the scriptures. He knows God's word. He probably knew that Psalm 121 verse 4 says, "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall never sleep nor slumber." Therefore, Jesus said, "I can rest and count on God to get me where he wants me to go next." He knew Psalm 93 verse 4, which said, "The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea." He knew that even if the waters and the noise of the waves came up, his God was going to get him where he was supposed to be. He knew Psalm 107 verse 29 that says, "He maketh the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still." He knew his God controlled all things. And if he's supposed to go to the other side, by God, God's going to get him to the other side no matter what happens on the outside. You see, there's an unbelievable calmness when you know the word of God and you know the character of God. You know you can take him to the bank and you can trust it. As the worship team comes up and gets ready to lead us in a final song this morning, some of you are like, "Pastor's done already?" Well, hold on, it's the conclusion. My wife sometimes says it's the second sermon, all right? Listen, look at verse 41. It says, "And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, 'What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? What's interesting is that after Jesus rebukes it, the wind and the waves, and after he questions them about their faith and their fear, it gets their attention, right? It gets their attention. The disciples begin to understand who they should truly fear. They shouldn't be fearing the winds. They shouldn't be fearing the waves. They shouldn't be fearing the storms that come up. Ladies and gentlemen, you shouldn't be fearing the storms and the troubles and the trials you come up. There is one thing that you should fear. There is one person you should fear. You should fear the Savior. That's what it says. "And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, 'What manner of man is this that even the wind and the waves and the sea obey him?'" The earth isn't something for you to fear. Your circumstances aren't something for you to fear. God is the one that you should fear. Jesus is the one that you should fear. And look, there's a couple definitions of fear. And you hear in the church a lot of times, fear of God, because some of them think, "Fear of God, why should I be afraid of God?" We oftentimes hear the definition of a holy reverence unto the Lord, that he is a holy God and we should be reverence unto him. So there's a fear, there's a healthy fear of God. Listen to me, folks, you should have that, but you should also have a fear of God. They're standing on the boat with someone who just rebuked the wind and the waves and calmed a storm right before them. I hope there's some fear in the midst of it. Notice they had fear when the storm was going on, but now in the presence of God and his power and his might, what's it said? It says they're exceedingly fearful. Folks, there should be a fear. It's good to fear God. Not just a holy reverence, but folks, there should be a fear in your life of a holy God that compels you because of the holiness of God and who he is. And in the midst of our sinfulness, that's what it is. It's sinfulness that they just were a part of. we should want to avoid sin and obey and cling to his word. That we should avoid sin and cling and obey his word. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to encounter storms as you pass through the other side in this life. You're going to. The biggest question that I'm going to ask you this morning is, do you have Jesus in your boat? Do you have Jesus in the boat? Because here's the thing. If you don't have Jesus in your boat and you encounter these storms, you got no hope. None. I would say if the disciples had left Jesus on the seashore and they encountered these, good chance the disciples are done because Jesus wasn't in the boat. But since they had Jesus in the boat, their problems were addressed. They had hope. They had security. They had the promise of his word. I said to you this morning that there's two places that everybody is heading towards as we go across the sea of life, as we pass over to the other side. If you don't have Jesus in your boat, there's a good chance you're not going to make it. And you're going to fall into the depths of the sea, which Scripture talks about the depths of the sea as oftentimes being a metaphor of hell. That's where you'll perish if you don't have Jesus in your boat. If you haven't put your faith and trust in the Savior. If you don't let him proverbially have the wheel or take the wheel or whatever it is that it's saying in the song. Because even when he's asleep, he's a better guide than you are. Even when he's asleep, he's a better Savior than you are. Even when he's asleep, he's got more power and authority over the things in your life than you do. Let him have power and authority over your soul, which is sinful. Let him have power and authority over your soul, and let his precious blood cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Get Jesus in your boat today. Get Jesus in your heart today. Get Jesus in your life today. He is the only one that will bring safe passage. Look, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You may say, Pastor Jeff, you keep talking about putting faith and trust in his word, putting faith and trust in Jesus' character. How do I get saved? How do I get him in my life? Well, faith cometh by hearing, and heareth by the word of God. Romans 10, beginning at verse 9 and 10, says, thou, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is Lord, and thou believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let's all bow our heads, close our eyes. Bow your head, close your eyes with me this morning. Jesus said in verse 35, hey, we're going across and we're going to make it, no matter what comes up. You know what the Word of God says in regards to your soul? That you're a sinner and that you need a Savior. You cannot obtain righteousness on your own. And you know what the Word of God says? That Jesus Christ came, died, and rose again for your salvation. And that all you have to do is put your faith and trust in his finished work. By grace are ye saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the free gift of eternal life. All you have to do is put your faith and trust. But Pastor, that sounds way too easy. Pastor, you don't know what I've done. Pastor, you don't know my background. No, I don't. But praise the Lord, God does. And are you going to accept him at his word today? Are you going to trust him at his word today? That if you put your faith and trust in him and the finished work of Calvary, that you will be saved. That's what the passage said that I just read. It says, if you confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not you might be saved. Not he will try to keep you saved. Not if you continue to say Hail Marys and pray unto the saints that he'll make you saved. No, it says you will be saved. It is signed, sealed, and delivered. It's a done deal. Do you trust his word this morning? Will you put your faith and trust in him and him alone? He's the only one that can get you safe passage through the other side to the shores of Jordan, to the promised land. Well, Pastor, how can I know? Again, because of his word. 1 John verses 5 and 13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Pastor, but what if I sin, and what if I backslide? Will I lose my salvation? No, the word of God says you can't. John chapter 10 verse 28 says, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 8, "Who shall also confirm you until the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." Once you're saved, and there's nothing the enemy can do about it. The question is, are you trusting his word? Can you take it to the bank? His character is impeccable. You can trust that if God declares it, it's going to happen. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And maybe you're here this morning, Christian, and you're going through some storms in your life right now. Maybe there's some trials, some troubles that you're going through. Listen to me, Christian. The way that you are going to make it through the storms and the troubles in your life is to get in the Word of God. I know it sounds so simple, but it's not. Because the enemy will try every little thing to keep you from the Word of God or get you to doubt in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. It will build your faith. Find the promises of God. Write them down. Memorize them. And when the troubles come, claim them as your own. In fact, maybe you need to remember some of those promises this morning as we get ready to go to the Lord. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3, "God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof." Selah. Pause and ponder. Maybe that's what you need to do this morning. Pause and ponder the truth of God's word. Believe it afresh and anew today. Isaiah 43, verse 2, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. When through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon me." Heavenly Father, we thank you so much.